I think I'm kind of, sort of, ready to go, just in case. I brought my Bible just in case.
But just
I think
in case.
Just in case, but usually I have everything printed out so I don't, a thing happens in my brain and I need to go.
I can remember
outside of my brain.
You just jarred memories when you said that about I've got my Bible. And when I was a kid going to church, you know, it would almost be like this. Your hair's combed, your shoes are polished, and you have your Bible that it was your dad before you got in the car. And, we wouldn't have survived this digital age where we'd look at Bibles on our phones.
Okay. Let's see if I can do this.
Oh, that was good.
Jesus.
I'm not going to read all of that. Just the first verse, but I didn't want to put it up here. Anyway. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are doing Why Did Jesus Come? And
this was awesome.
I was wrestling with this even at 2 o'clock this morning.
Get out.
I woke up at 2 o'clock and I was thinking.
Awesome. Bro.
And I didn't change anything, but I was just thinking. And about stuff that I, every time I do things, there's some wrestling goes on in my head just before I get ready to do this. But that didn't actually happen last night. It was kind of, I just kind of had a time to just think and just nothing changed. I was wondering, now, Lord, don't do this like 3 minutes before I have to do something and then they, you're going to change it now. He's done that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting in her, before we were married, I think, I was sitting in her living room waiting for her to get ready to go to youth group. And sitting on the couch, I changed my lesson from one thing to Romans. Totally different scripture, book, the whole thing.
Wow.
Different, sitting on her couch. So he does do that occasionally. It hasn't been in a long time, but.
Right.
Not like that either. So, my picture. This is an important picture. Becky said, you gotta see this, you gotta see this. And
that's awesome.
It wasn't this. This wasn't what she showed me. But they're singing the song that she showed me, and she showed me this church. And they were doing the song, and they were doing some, they were kind of doing some acting to the song, kind of. The people were carrying things, and they were doing things as they were singing this song. And on the side of it, this was when she showed it, I found it in my YouTube. And along with this is like they always give you these things, like, or at least they give me things that if you see this, maybe you'll like this one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'd seen this a long time ago. And this is a bunch of Marines. And so we'll see if it works. I just want you to watch these Marines. I'm going to talk about this as we go about why did Jesus come.
Is there sound? Is there sound?
There is sound. Yeah. Hopefully there's sound. I'm going to do it now. And you're going to see them sing a song. I hope it works. Oh, come on.
Days of Elijah. Declaring the word of the Lord.
Oh, that's fun.
And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness be restored. I know these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sorrow. Still we are. Thank you.
I don't know where they're at. I just happened to see it, and
cool.
they're worshiping, and but just think, they're doing this the motions that I used to show to kids.
Right.
Yeah.
But these could be just 18, 19 year olds. They're kids.
Yeah, that's true.
They're men, but they're kids.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They're in that, but these are warriors.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are. Can you imagine? And I was thinking about this. I said, you know, Jesus didn't come to make us this. We turn into this.
Yeah.
But that's not what he came for. He came for other things. And the result of that is that this was a bonus.
Yeah.
And these are warriors. And imagine them when they go, you know, they have a mission.
Right.
And when I read about the missions that the Marines go on, I read their diaries. When I used to teach, I would read their diaries. I'd read portions to my classes. I said, this is what they were thinking. We don't want to embarrass ourselves, the Corps, the nation, and our God. Mm-hmm. We will succeed. And they are famous around the world for success.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good.
The Russians know them. The Chinese know them. They read about them. They know who their enemies are. Satan knows who his enemies are.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled. Do we know who our enemy is? So, in the midst of it, I don't even know why or how I found this. The next thing I'm going to show you. There is a story. I think God just brought it to me because he wanted the outcome of what we teach is to make us like superheroes for God. I mean, that's, we don't want to just be average. God doesn't want average stuff. He wants supernatural stuff from regular people,
right?
Yeah.
And so this came across me yesterday. And it came from, I don't even know why I was looking, but from the Nebraska Homeschool Alliance.
Okay.
They're a group that got created because the homeschoolers in Nebraska got busted by the government, Nebraska government. And they sued and they won. And Nebraska changed its laws to legalize homeschooling. But they posted this thing about the 91st Psalm. There's a story from World War I where the 91st Brigade by itself, their leadership said, we're going to read the 91st Psalm every day together. And so they did. And they were involved in the Battle of the Argonne, terrible battle. It was millions and millions of men involved in this thing. They were in the Belle of Wood. When you hold on to papers, sometimes they run away. And they were in the Chateau Thierry. And like the Battle of the Argonne was like the trenches were a cumulative more than 100 miles long. And there were millions of men on each side facing each other, shooting and killing and stuff. When I taught my kids, this was like having a battle that was from Ridgecrest to Bakersfield. At one time, all of it happening at once. Machine guns, gun, everything's happening. The 91st Brigade that had been reading the 91st Psalm every day suffered no casualties, but everybody around them was getting butchered. And the homeschoolers posted this story because it's one of the miracles of warfare for the Christians. There's a story of the Christmas story of World War One, where the guys were singing on one side of the trenches and the Germans were singing on the other side of the trenches. And some, they have a soccer game and they play and they exchange gifts. There are interesting stories when the power of God shows up,
right,
and
right.
the men respond to the power of God, they amazing things happen. These guys, yeah, I just read you the first, since it was the King James that they had to have been reading, I read, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's what they had to say every day, plus everything else. There's 16 verses in this.
Just read the whole thing.
Okay, I do have the whole thing. Just in case I got the request. Okay. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." They weren't trusting in their trenches. "So surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. This truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, Jesus. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come to thee." "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under your feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." It's called the Soldier's Song.
Wow.
Mm.
Amen.
Jesus.
So, why did Jesus come?
Well, so was the 91st Brigade Marines?
It doesn't say.
Doesn't say.
I kept trying to find it, and it always came, when I tried to just look up stuff about the 91st Brigade, it always referred to the 91st Division, which is not the 91st Brigade. But this 91st, a brigade is approximately 4,000 guys. Something like that. It changes from time to time because at different wars, they change the numbers, but it's about 4,000 men. And they have specific jobs. Yeah, so these guys chose to obey their officers, and they recite this thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
every day. Mm. And probably they get up early in the morning, and they start their day with this. So I was also, how many of you saw Hacksaw Ridge? You ever see Hacksaw Ridge?
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Doss, Medal of Honor winner. You know, they condense a lot of his story into one little movie, into one big movie. But a lot of those things happen on separate incidences in different islands. If you read his story, the part in the movie where it says he prayed, that happened on a separate, that wasn't in on at Hacksaw Ridge, that was on a different island before they got to this one. He had prayed because the men said, he's never getting hurt. When he goes up, he comes down, he's not carrying guns. And said, we want, basically they want a piece of what he's got.
Sure.
So they wanted him to pray. So he prayed. And when he prayed for them, they went up and nobody got hurt. there are a lot of these 91st Psalm people around.
Right.
And sometimes we don't know about them. And so why did Jesus come? Did he want us to become Desmond Dosses? Did he just want us to be the people that know his word and stand and we have courage because? Well, why did he come? Well, he did come for some things. I was, you know, why did you? Because. What comes after the because? Ta-da. The most common thing that you find, it's the easiest one, salvation.
Right.
It's almost become a cop-out.
Right.
People don't know why Jesus came because they came to save us. And they don't know anything else. They're ignorant. Even the pastors are. You know, when the pastors talk about, wait, why did he come? He came for this and this and this and this, all equaling. But did he only come for that?
Right. Come on.
You know, what does salvation really mean? That was just getting us back in relationship with God. It wasn't coming to get us to heaven, which is what a lot, you know, that's what I was taught in Baptist Church. You get saved so you can go to heaven. No, you get saved because you get to have a relationship with God again. That was restoring the relationship so that we can have everything else. Like we sang today, promises, faithfulness. All those things don't come until you're saved. But you have to have that, a relationship, to get all the good stuff. Salvation is like, that's the good stuff. Well, not exactly. It is, but it's not. It's a very tricky thing to say when you say, that's not the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I have to say strength. And I'm not even using the regular verse that everybody uses. I chose this one. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. That's Paul saying that I'm the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the biggest bum of all the bums. But did Paul just talk about salvation? I mean, he talked about salvation in Romans, but he also talked about other things like praying in the Spirit and having gifts and having government that was improper related. All those things are part of salvation, but in 16 chapters, he only mentioned salvation a little bit in the big picture. There's more to the Christian life than that. But salvation is necessary to get to all of that. So what are some of the things that he came? Well, the first thing I thought of was because I taught the Truth Project that he came to tell the truth. But that was a big deal. Truth.
Sure.
It made an impression on some Romans. He said, 18 says, Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Yeah, I'm a king. Yeah, I was a baby. Yeah, I came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So you have to be of the truth to listen. You have to be saved to listen.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't listen. Until that point, when you get you're being spoon-fed everything because God says, you don't know nothing. You can't respond to me properly until I get you this stuff. Babies don't feed themselves. They have to be fed. And sometimes they don't know any better than to spit it out.
Right.
So everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. If you're really hungry, you'll listen. If the baby's hungry, they don't spit it out. It might taste bad, but sometimes if they're hungry, they'll even eat what tastes bad. Which is what we do. We sometimes have to eat bad-tasting stuff. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's bad-tasting food. You're not good enough. That's bad-tasting food. We like to think we're good. But the truth says, this is what you need. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. When I speak, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. When Abraham was was believing God, he was believing the truth. He was believing the promise, the word of God. He was believing Jesus, even though he didn't know who he was. But everything is believing him, because he came for that. This was the last chance, last hope for everybody, that Jesus is it. The truth is really it. Without the truth, you know, you can know your own truth, but that doesn't say, you know, Oprah is famous for not saying everybody's truth is good. No, everybody's truth is a lie. Only God's truth is truth.
Yeah.
But they believe it. And there are churches that are believing it. And I'm preparing a lesson on building the church on the rock.
Come on.
Some stuff about that and how the church has destroyed itself. I don't even think that Satan had to even step in. The church just said, truth is okay. They became an Oprah Winfrey before Oprah Winfrey was even born. But I'll get there. I'm going to do that at some other time. But it's coming. So, truth. Jesus came to talk about the truth. He came to talk about himself. He is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When he speaks, he doesn't say, I am, blah, 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 blah. He just talks because he is the truth. You have to get that. It's in John. Early in John. So, what else did he come for? To fulfill the law.
Yeah.
We can't fulfill the law.
Right. Try it.
We have been trying forever.
Right. People are still trying.
And all the law does is say, see this? You can't reach the standard.
Yes.
No matter how hard we try, the Ten Commandments won't work it, and the other 600 or 593 don't cut it either, because there's 613 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
That you're accountable for if you're going to be a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean...
Or a proselyte. Anybody that follows after God still has to follow the law.
Yeah.
Right, even if they're not Jewish.
Yeah. Right. There's 613 commandments.
Yep.
And you fail in... And Jesus, if you fail in one, you fail them all.
Right.
One makes a guilt. So it's not just a matter of I got most of them. It didn't make any difference. You got most
right.
of them. If you miss one, you missed them all.
Yeah.
Fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17. Come on. There you go. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't take that stuff away.
Right.
The rules don't go away. But I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That burden is gone from you. I've taken care of the burden. I haven't taken away the law. Doesn't mean you can. It's okay to do the wrong things now.
Right.
You can. You know, I fulfill it. You can disobey it. No, 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 no. This is that now. There's a new way for you to deal with it. When you don't cut it, I am the way that you're going to do it. I am the way.
That's
I am
okay.
the truth.
I
am the way. If you want to obey, you got to come through me to get it done. There's a new sheriff in town.
It's a bit.
Well, you know, it's that's what he's saying. He came to do some things. I came to tell to save. I came to you know tell you the truth, give you truth. I came to fulfill the law because you can't. I came to do the things you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because salvation is, I have to die because you can't do it. If you die, you go to hell. So I have to do this. And you have, so all this, you can't tell the truth because you're liars. Therefore, I have to tell you the truth, and now you know. You're liars. That's a hard thing, too. I was talking about bad tasting food for the baby, right? So all these things are not tasting good because we fall short of everything. There, I was asking, how do you deal with people that are good? I said, I don't have to worry about that. I deal with people that are bad. And I did not make a lot of people happy, especially my mother. Does you mean that I'm so bad that I, well, yeah. She was not pleased. But it's bad tasting food. And there's no nice way to say it. Truth is just there. And some people are trying to sugarcoat it, that changes the truth. You camouflage the truth. Well, that changes the truth. So, and we try to fake our way through. I'm almost good enough. I've been reading about all the pastors that there are that are famous, and all of them have major flaws. Even the ones that sometimes we really like.
Yeah.
Some of them have really some major flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, it's not that they intend to be bad people, but I think they sometimes get caught up in how great they are on TV,
mm-hmm.
and how much money they have,
yeah.
and they get lazy in their studies and lazy in their presentation. And I think Christians get lazy in their presentations. We get comfortable.
Yeah.
We get comfortable. So we forget, why did Jesus come? He didn't come to make us comfortable.
Right.
He came to save us. He came to give us truth. He came to fulfill the law for us because we're inept. He didn't say that to us because he's a nice guy. Sort of.
No,
we like to think of him as being a nice guy, but really,
how
nice is a guy that comes into the temple and overthrows all the tables,
right.
and chases all the bad guys out of the and calls them all a bunch of bums? He was nice when it was okay to be nice, and he was not nice when it was okay not to be nice.
Right.
There were times, like, what is it, Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time for this, and there's a time
right.
for that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to understand the times. I think Jesus made a complaint about that. You know how to tell the times
mm-hmm.
with this, and you don't know, understand this word? I mean, what? You guys are stupid. But he wasn't using that word, but that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
You guys are not smart enough to know this, but you are smart enough to know that. So
there's some that still know that. Don't they? Astrology. People know that.
Yeah. But Nathan used to say, how come the kids can let you tell the kids that they're dumb and they let you get away with it? I said, because I like them.
That's a great
I don't hold that against them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to know everything. And I can tell them they don't know anything. Sometimes they yell at me. I said, you said we're stupid. I said, yeah. You're not supposed to say that. Why not? And then they have to think like, I don't know. And then we just go on. And Jesus did the same kind of things. And he got away with it because he liked them.
Mm-hmm.
He loved them.
And they knew it.
Yes.
He was a caring, like, open your heart, and he's there. And he could be honest. And some people left.
Like when he called the Pharisees, you whitewashed, or whatever you call them.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Pharisees eventually started coming to him.
Yeah.
The whitewashed sepulchres needed cleaning.
Yeah.
And some of them had come.
He went through a whole period of time after Angel finally retired, and we would be driving down the street, and there would be these people in the street. They go, Mr. Garcia, we miss him, we love you, and
that
just
is,
going through the town.
Yeah.
And then Angel would turn to me and say, "Yeah, I had to send him to the principal.
Right.
Yeah,
I put him suspended.
Yeah, all these kids."
But they loved him.
They loved him. And they're yelling at him in the streets.
In the post office, if we're going to share a story, there was a lady that I called the police on because she whacked her son in front of me in my office. She punched him.
Mm-hmm.
And her other son said, Mom, you can't do that. Especially here at school in front of the principal. But eventually she came around and I didn't know that she was going to Crossroads. And she saw me in the light. In line, we were waiting to go through for something, and she goes, "Remember me?" And I said, "Ah!" And she just gave me a big hug because she remembered me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I dealt with her kids.
Wow!
But I had her arrested.
Wow!
I had kids that I expelled. I had kids. But if you like them,
right?
It's not that I don't like you, is that this thing just can't be left undone. I gotta take care of this. Jesus had to take care of stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't cast you out because he had to take care of it. I mean, Judas was there until the end, and then he had opportunities. And Jesus still hung on until it had to fulfill the prophecies. It's hard sometimes to be a nice guy. Nice guys have to do hard things occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hard things. And sometimes bad guys do hard things too.
Like find salvation.
Yeah, salvation is a hard thing. Being alive is a hard thing. We like to be careful lights. We like to be safe lights, like maybe parking lights instead of headlights. Because parking lights are a little bit dimmer. They're smaller. They don't shine as much. But John 12:46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And then we become light. Mm-hmm. And we don't even have to be a light like a moon. Moon reflects light. Mm-hmm. We don't reflect light. When we come to have a relationship with Jesus, we end up having the light in us. And it should be coming out of us.
Right.
It's not a reflection. It's not a reflection. And so we have, but sometimes we have difficulty letting it out. Sometimes it's because we made bad choices that just kind of cost us a little bit of dimness. Sometimes we get nervous about what people might say about us or think or whatever. And we start not releasing as much light as we could. You could say, well, I believe Jesus did this. Says, well, I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong is true, but it may be dimmer than Jesus said so, which might cost you more. So we're supposed to be busy.
Mm.
You know, Ronald Reagan said that America is a city on a hill. It's a city with a beacon. And you know, even way back when we were first created, not everybody agreed with what we should be, but they agreed that we needed to have one message, even if we didn't all agree with the message. And they chose a Judeo-Christian message. That's the kind of country we're going to have. Now, Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian, but he said, this standard is good. The standard works. And that's what they agreed to. They said, this is a good... The light is good. I mean, I'd agree with all the things that are in that light, but this is a good package. It's a good package. Nowadays, we're having problems with the package. Package hasn't changed.
The people.
Yep.
Try to change it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We play with the package because we don't like what it's doing. Well, darkness never likes what light's doing.
Not at all.
Right.
Right.
But sometimes we lack the darkness more than the light. That's what it says in John chapter 1, I think. They wanted the darkness more than the light.
Yeah.
It says that in several places, actually. And we have, that's our wrestling match now. We still are leading to light, or truth, or salvation. I mean, all these things that Jesus came are where the battles are. That's why we have to become warriors, because all these things are points of battle. Let's see. We have to have life. Jesus came that we might have life. What kind of life?
Abundant.
Abundant. That's good. You're so smart. That's the kind of life that we're talking about. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's not for the future, it's for now.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to show abundance. That doesn't mean we're supposed to have a lot of money necessarily.
Right.
Abundance. But we're supposed to have a lot of life.
Yes. A lot of light.
A lot of light, a lot of life.
Yeah.
people should want to live like us.
Yeah. True.
That's what drew them to Jesus, is that we want to be like, that's what we want. That they didn't understand what it took, but the attraction was there. They saw the truth. They saw that there was power in the truth, that there was acceptance in the truth. You know, Mary was a problem in the community, but in Jesus, she said, I love you. I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And she melted.
Yeah.
And hung out with him for a while, forever. We have, from The Chosen, we have that picture of her.
Yes.
When Jesus hugs her, she melts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because she came. That's what people were doing. There was a lady who said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I don't even want to offend him. I just want to touch and just get better. And she knew she couldn't get better without him.
Right.
But she didn't know what better really meant.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always know what better really means. Mm-hmm. All these things. He came to give us all these things, and we don't ultimately know, what does that really mean? What are we getting? How much are we getting? You know, we were watching the movie Joseph last night. And at the end, it just has this interesting music at the end. And I told Becky, I said, you know, sometimes after I watch something like this, I just listen to the music and it just settles and stirs and does things.
Mm.
Doesn't have any words to it. It's not a song. It's just music that they, to have background in the movie. And, but I think God speaks through that kind of stuff. You know, he wants an abundant life, and how he gets it to you, it varies. But he uses music for her in a different way than he uses it for me. If it doesn't have words, she doesn't like it. If it has words that I know, sometimes it gets in my way. Because I need to let that, it's almost like it cleans me. It lets things go. You know, I'll sit down. This is almost heretic, but sometimes, there are times that I'll listen to things from when I was a kid. Not because it's Christian, but because it brings up good things in me. It brings up good memories. It brings up good feelings. It brings up some of the good things that I have in me that I have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll sit down, and she has a CD that is the 21 number one songs of the Beatles, and I'll listen to that.
How fun!
And I'll sit there, and I'll be, you know, and I don't listen to it like she does. She listens to it, and she can't. She has to sing.
No good if you can't sing.
But I'll sit there and I'll listen to it, and I'll remember things that were good. And sometimes I'll listen and there are tears in my eyes. And I'm laying down, so it's all running down this way. But I'm thinking about stuff that I have forgotten that God did. And the music helps open me up to remember, because I tend to compartmentalize everything.
Sure.
And so I have to do things that will let me decompartmentalize and decompress. And that's abundant life too. And it's not somebody else's abundant life. It's my abundant life.
Right.
You know, she's got to sing, I have to cry. But I have to do it with, and I can do it with any music. It's like anything that will get to my heart, it works. Sometimes it's wordless, just background music and elevator music. But it does something.
Right.
And so abundant life comes in a lot of ways, but that allows me to share that life with others. That's why I get waved at. And it's the abundant life that's coming out. When I retired, she said, you know, you have set aside your old church. Now we've got to find the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Says, Because I used to think I was going to be a pastor.
Right.
And she said, what you were, you just did it little chunks at a time. And your church kept changing, but your church was always there. It was
right. Right.
Whether I was in a Christian school or not, what I did was what I did, and it's the way God had me do it. And it worked for me because it was God working through me.
Right.
I wasn't special. I just allowed myself to, at least at those times.
Right.
And so abundant living comes to all of us in different ways, but it always comes from the same source. We have to understand that we are individually gifted in our lives, and the truth will play out in you, and it's the same truth that plays out in me, but you are going to express it differently. The abundant life is going to be look different in you because you're a nurse. Mm-hmm. I'm not a nurse. No, I'm not a nurse.
Yep.
So, but I have been called a doctor. I used to have a, when I was at one particular school teaching, I coached and did, and I would take care of injuries and minor things, and sometimes kids would do something stupid. I said, that was stupid. I said, yeah, it was. I said, so then I'd take care of it. And so they would, if I was in class, they had made a sign for me. And one side said, the doctor's in, the other side said, the doctor's out. And when I got there, they would turn the sign over for me.
Doctor's in.
And when I was coaching, I'd do the same thing. I mean, I didn't have a trainer, so I became the trainer. Mm-hmm. So they saw me with what I knew, mm-hmm. and they did what I said. And that was abundant life coming through me.
Yeah.
How does it come through you? How does it come? It's not just something you get. Mm. Life is not what you get. Life is what you do. Mm. Life is what you do.
Teaching is a gift.
Not everybody
has teaching. You can learn it, like music. You can learn it, but there's certain gifts that I have that I acquired before I could read music.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need to read music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's other things that got added in there later. But yeah, I met some great teachers, and then I met some people.
I've met some teachers that were so terrible, they couldn't learn how to teach.
Right.
They had been teaching longer than me, and they didn't know a thing.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been teaching. But that, you know, I had prophetic words over me that said, you're going to be a teacher.
Yeah.
When I was already a teacher. Mm. They didn't know.
Yeah.
But by the time I got those words, I'd already been teaching for a few years. I spent 12 years in Christian school before I got to public school.
Wow.
So
that's pretty cool.
What do? You say amen, it's done. Or so be it. So
that's a song too.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. There are interesting things that we have. I am going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to do this. Now I can pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, you came to give us lots of things.
Mm.
I could have had more things that I found that you came for, but I
mm-hmm.
think these five things are the ones that cover everything else. It's like the first two commandments that you were asked about. It's just that first one is to love God with everything, and the second one is like it. And if you do this, love your neighbors, it covers it all. It says if we do the things, even in the small ways that you tell us, we can start covering an awful lot of ground.
Right.
If we just are faithful in the small things, it can do amazingly big things.
Thanks, God.
Mm-hmm. The mustard seed grows into a huge bush. Mm-hmm. Little thing, it creates a big home. Mm-hmm. We can do big things if we just do the little things you ask us to do.
Jesus.
Christ be in.
Amen. Amen.